Hi, everyone. Welcome to This Weird World Weird Bit podcast. My name is Carrie.
I'm Dean. Is this going to be a quick cryptid corner?
Are you asking me?
I am.
Or are you telling me? Because I don't know.
Oh, wait. You're not doing it? Just kidding. Yes,
that,
it is.
That was a convincing face.
It's going to kind of be a quick cryptid corner. Sort of. You'll see.
Of course it is. Oh, but before we do that, I feel there's something we need to mention.
Go ahead. What is it?
Dean's written a book. Another book, I should say. It's available on Amazon called Strange Visitors, right?
Yeah, that's good that you questioned that because you didn't know for sure.
I'm not sure. Okay. I've only read it two or three times.
It is. It's some of the cases from some of our favorite cases. Yeah. In this case, the thing that holds them together is that they are not aliens, but just some weird, strange creatures that don't seem to be of our world, yet have lived amongst us. Things like the Black-Eyed Kids, Shadow People, Spring Hill Jack, Mothman, things like that.
And in case you think it's going to be one of those real dry, academic, scientific.
Even though I have a PhD. No, it is not actually.
It is a bit irreverent.
A little, yes. Very slightly irreverent. But I try to give them as much seriousness as they deserve.
Sure. I mean, it's in the vein of the Weird World podcast, too. So
buy it. How much is it?
It's fairly cheap. $3.99? $4.99? Maybe it's $4.99.
I'm not 100% sure.
Something like that. If a lot of people start buying it, it might go up that price to $15.99.
So you better buy it right. Really? No, that's highly unlikely.
I'm just joking.
Please check it out. Strange Visitors by me, Dean Worley.
Yeah.
My last name is spelled. How's your last name spelled, Kerr?
My last name is spelled W-E-H-R-L-I.
I just realized, I don't know if we've ever said our last names on this, but we kind of have to since it's on my book.
Yes.
So that's weird.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, thank you, Carrie, for that mention. It's unexpected.
You're welcome, Dean.
Okay, we'll probably do it again.
Yeah, there's been zero marketing, zero anything around this book. There's also have another book available on Amazon.
There a long time ago.
From a very long time ago.
Wrote it 20 years ago.
When the kids were quite small.
Yes.
Called Saving Monsters.
Uh-huh. That's a novel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I should go check and see if that's not available in physical form. We should probably do that.
Okay. It might whatever you say.
Just be ebook.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So anyhow, go buy both of those books.
Thanks, Kerr.
You'll buy us a couple cups of coffee.
Not right. You buy more of them. But yeah, I think they're fun. I like them.
Yeah.
So yeah, that first one, the Saving Monsters, is a novel. This one, of course, Strange Visitors, is nonfiction.
Correct.
Okay. Well, thanks, Kerr.
You're welcome, Dean.
Now, what I want to talk to you about was sort of a kind of a hybrid story. So I'm going to start by telling you a story. I didn't make up this story. It's an old legend from New Orleans. Some of the people here, in fact, I'm sure you've heard of these people.
New Orleans? Yeah, how do they say it?
Please never. not what you just said.
I just call it NOLA.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's New Orleans. You can call it Nolans if you want, but whatever that horrific monster thing that you just said, Nolans, just kidding, cut that out. I'm being mean.
Yeah. So that's why we're leaving it in.
You're a monster. Marie Laveau.
Heard of her.
Yeah, you have. Who is she?
She's the witchy lady.
Oh, there you go. She was sort of a voodoo priestess of early New Orleans, I guess early 1800s, I think, right? So there's a story about her where she had kind of transitioned to being in the a priestess and doing the bidding of the rich and powerful. She started out as kind of in her, you know, Creole. She was Creole, I believe. So she was mixed race, I think. I think Creole meant mixed race. Back then, I think.
And Creole?
Creole. I like Creole.
I think I've heard it both ways. Call her Crayola
Creole. Creole? Whatever. So
I don't know.
She was in service to a lot of these rich Creole families and also the white families. And New Orleans at this time of the late 1700s, early 1800s was very mixed, surprisingly so. There's some actually very wealthy Creole families in New Orleans. And she did, whatever, told the future and things like that for those people and did curses and like that. So she got to know this Creole family. The name of the family is never named, but they lived on Dauphine Street in New Orleans, and they had a beautiful young daughter named Camille. And Camille was sort of the belle of the ball, and she went out there And she's very available. And all these, the wealthy aristocratic sons of these Creole, upper class Creole families were throwing their sons at them. Their sons were courting her. She was having little to do with her. She actually fell in love with a Scotsman, a white guy from the other part of town. His name was Mackenzie Bowes, and he was very wealthy. No one knew quite how he got his fortune, but he was said to be extremely wealthy. And so they start a-courting, and they start going out, and they start getting pregnant. No, not yet. But what happened is that one of the Creole sons, wealthy sons that she had scorned and you know, paid no attention to, his name was Etienne Lafossat Mathieu. He was very upset. He was put out. So he went to Marie Laveau and he said, I don't care what it costs me. I want you to curse her. I want her dead.
Wow.
Marie Laveau said, oh, that's big. Quote, you will pay dearly for me to take her life. Are you ready for this? Unquote. And he said, okay, maybe that's a bit much. How about you just make her suffer, suffer terribly, just like she's made me suffer. So supposedly Marie Laveau then spat in the ground and stomped her foot in it and said, so let it be. That's how you, you know, nowadays you shake hands, then you spat in the ground and stomped your foot in the spit.
I'm going to start doing that.
That's actually, I'm going to do that in business meeting. That would be like, what the fuck she's doing? If it's good enough for Marie Laveau, it's good enough for you, bro. She gave him all kinds of instructions. Here's what you need to get. Bring it to me, and within a week, and he did. So she started insinuating herself closer to that family, and she did her curse, she did her spell, whatever, and indeed, bad things started, you know, they had started having nightmares and stuff like that, and bad things started happening to them. Fast forward, eventually, Camille gets pregnant, but it's just a horrific pregnancy. But just before this, she had convinced the mother of Camille that, hey, this is going to be a really troublesome pregnancy. I need to be the midwife and only me. I'll be the only one in the room.
Did they get married? She marry them?
Yes, sir. Yeah, they wouldn't.
The Scot?
She married the Scot, Mackenzie. And so she's having this terrible pregnancy. Marie is in there midwifing her. Remember, Marie is this, you know, she's a little bit of a cat in the hen house here. And she did the curse.
Fox
she's causing
in
all this
the hen
stuff.
House?
Cats, foxes, raccoons, cougars, opossums, they're all the same. Anything that could kill hens. Dogs, I've heard it both. I've heard it all 17 ways. Okay. So Mackenzie is like all angry, and Marie kicks him out of the birthing room, whatever, I'm sure is at their mansion.
Yeah.
And he is sad that he like stormed out of the room cursing and like he's gone crazy. And he storms into the street. Camille continues to give birth, but it's horrific, and she dies in childbirth. And Marie wraps the little baby up, and the mom comes in. It's like, oh, and she's sad, and everything's terrible, right? But at least you have this baby. She then shows the mom the baby, takes the cloth off his face, and the grandmother, I guess, of this baby just like screams. She's horror stricken, and everybody who sees it just like, ah, it's the ugliest baby, uglier than that baby, the ugly baby in Seinfeld in the classic episode. It's
just
like
ugly,
devil baby. It's got like nubs for horns, it's got big, bright, glowing eyes. And I'll show you a picture of it right here. Here's an artist rendition.
An actual photograph?
No, it's not a photograph. This is like 1807 or something like that. But it's just think of a classic devil baby with bright glowing eyes.
What is around the baby? This looks like an AI.
It looks like an octopus. I'm sure it is. I have no doubt it is. No, that's not like an original, you know, from the newspaper from 1807.
But I mean, it doesn't even look like, when was this supposedly?
Don't worry about it. It's just a brand new picture. Who cares? And you try to take those things way too seriously. Somebody did that probably 6 months ago.
It looks a little cute, actually.
Except for the glowing eyes and horns? Okay. Yes. Well, that's weird. Marie is said to have taken the baby, like the grandma says, we don't want it. Just take it. I don't care what you do. Dump it in the river. Whatever. We don't care.
Wow.
Feed it to the gators. They didn't say that, literally, but they didn't take it. And so she takes it back, and she actually lives and raises it with the famous Madame Lalaurie, who would later be found out to be a mass murderer of slaves.
Yeah.
And so I guess she was a client of hers, and they supposedly raised this devil baby together. In the meantime, but remember, she had warned Etienne, you're going to pay a dear price for her. Well, he's hideously deformed, he's out walking around being, oh, this is great, I've got this vengeance on this woman who scored me. And he looks in the mirror and he's grossly, grotesquely deformed somehow. So
it just happened overnight,
apparently. So that's the story. Now, it's actually called the Devil Baby of Bourbon Street.
Okay. Right?
And that's a well-known, I don't know if it's how well-known it is, but that's an old New Orleans legend. There's sort of, for lack of a better term, that legend has been kind of glommed onto by a new one. And this is the legend of the Grunch. And the Grunch is why I said this is kind of a quick cryptid corner a little bit. You'll see. So essentially, this story has modified the end of that story. And that story, when, you know, she had the baby, Camille died and the baby came out and the baby was a devil baby, right? Mm-hmm. In this sort of remaking of that story at the end there, Marie Laveau, for some reason, castrates the devil baby when he was born. And supposedly it was to stop him from ever producing devil children.
Sure.
More offspring, yeah. Which is nice, what you do to a baby. She tossed the bloody baby testicles onto the floor, and supposedly they turned into a male and female Grunch. And I'll describe what that is, but think Chupacabra-esque.
Okay.
Sure. So these monsters, these terrifying, blood-sucking, goat-like creature monsters, rose up from the floor from these two testicles.
Devil baby balls.
From the devil baby balls.
Okay.
Sure. And they proceeded then to attack Marie Laveau, the voodoo queen.
Yeah, that.
Which is, you know, not great. She was badly bitten and knocked around. And I guess they not only bit her, but punched her. Because they have some almost human-like or primate-like qualities too, this version of this.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they think, you know, close enough to a chupacabra. But she was able to, you know, struggle free. And I don't know if she chased them off or they left. They left her unconscious and she woke up. And one legend of that says that she was so chastened by this that she became a good Catholic, which is highly unlikely. So that's the origin of the Grunch. And you can see it sort of just amends itself to this, I believe, legend of Marie Laveau and the Devil Baby of Bourbon Street that goes back further, I think. It's really hard to tell with these things. The area where the Grunch supposedly lived then was a place called Grunch Road. And no one knows if it got the name from the road or whatnot. And it's sort of like, the eastern part of New Orleans. It supposedly dates back to the very early days when there's this road going out there and it just kind of ended in the swamp or something like that. And that's where these Grunches live. So it's also been called the Vampire of Faubourg Marigny. That's maybe a place over there in Eastern.
What is the last word you're saying?
Marigny.
Marigny? Oh. I don't know. It's Frenchy.
Yeah, sure. That's good. That's the, you know, one origin story. The another origin story is that in the early days in New Orleans, supposedly like the outcast, and a couple of different sources call them, their words, not mine, dwarfs and albinos. And this sort of this little clan of dwarfs, little people, and albinos were pushed out to the edges of the city and lived in the woods or something like that. And over time, they became like inbred and they became deformed and they became smaller and they apparently grew fangs. And they essentially turned into Grunches, these creatures of the swamp and of the forest. Who are very, very, we'll see in a second, very, very chupacabra-like. So they devolved in a pretty significant way into these creatures because they were, outcast.
Because this is how evolution,
de-evolution works. Any kind of thing worked. Another kind of variation on this is the same people, but they signed a pact with the devil. And I don't know, the devil made them Grunches or something like that. There's a few, and there's even another variation that says that actually Grunches can be made because the devil baby bit people, or the Grunches that turned from the devil baby bit people, and kind of werewolf-like, it turned those people into Grunches. So that you can see few variations on the origin of this creature called the Grunch. Now, the description of it is, again, sort of quasi-goat-like, but kind of also leathery, scaly, black-gray skin, kind of almost reptilic. One source described it as being like a mixture between the kind of the classic chupacabra and a more of a reptilian chupacabra.
Uh-huh.
But think chupacabra, 3 to 4 feet long, or high rather. Some people give it the classic spines on the back of the classic chupacabra. And of course, it sucks blood and drains blood. In this case, though, it supposedly just, it said it's different than the normal chupacabra because it just does one hole and sucks all the blood out of that hole. I'm pretty sure I've read a lot about the chupacabra. Lots of you know, sources say chupacabras do drain blood in exactly that way. So I'm not sure how that's different. Again, it's sort of goat-like, leathery, black-gray, maybe the spikes, big teeth, sucks blood.
Yeah.
That's your grunch. That's your cryptid, if you want to think of it as that. In terms of behavior, it's said to howl like a wolf, or scream like a banshee, or bellow and screech like an ape.
Or.
Quote, end quote. So that's a, you know, that's quite a different mechanism. It also has a dreadful stench associated with it, kind of like a skunk ape of Florida. So you see how these things, this is accretion at work again, for sure, which just gets these newer and newer things. And it has these, another characteristic, it has these unusual kind of either red, orange, or blue, green glow in the eyes. It seems like a very different type of eye shine to me. That's weird. And some sources supposedly have said, I think I saw some bat-like wings on its back too. So they grew it, which is reminiscent of what other creature?
Mothman.
No, the Jersey Devil.
Oh.
It's because Mothman was much bigger. Yeah, you're right. It did have wings. But the Jersey Devil was a little more shaped chupacabra-esque.
Yeah, that's
and size-wise, too. And supposedly had wings.
And didn't Jersey Devil supposedly come from a deformed baby?
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
Mrs. Leeds' baby. We had one of our earliest episodes was the Jersey Devil versus the chupacabra. In a little grudge match. And some people also said they saw a tail. Are some longer, more kind of longer than a goat's fur would be. And other people have said it sort of seemed almost human-like capabilities, like it could, like it had opposable thumbs and can open a door. Other sources said it can phase through matter.
Oh. Which
I'm not sure why you need to open a door at that point. So it had phasing powers, like the vision or something. And it also is supposedly even possibly able to speak kind of human-like words in kind of a low growl voice. So it does have these quasi-human characteristics to it, which would be explicable if we assumed that the dwarfs and albinos devolved into these grunches. They would keep some of their primate, human-like characteristics.
Or if the grunches came from human baby balls.
That too.
They would have some human DNA, I would think.
Sure, along with the magic goat.
If we're going to be scientific DNA. About this.
and we should be. So one modern source says that these days they love to hide in long grass waiting to pounce. Pounce is all caps, by the way. Mm-hmm. At which point, the grunch will drag you into a swamp and drown you.
Oh.
End quote. But they're going to drain your blood, so I'm not sure why that was left out, because that's kind of the most important part. And then right now, let's have you look at a hilariously unconvincing picture of a grunch in tall grass. By the way, it's G-R-U-N-C-H.
Yeah.
One source said, by the way, it's not the Grinch. Like, a lot of people make that mistake. You know, the cute green creature.
It's green and hairy.
Here's a picture. We'll
the
put
Grinch
this up.
Isn't cute.
The Grinch is adorable.
Well, no.
I consider the Grinch a hero, not the villain. Carrie, his heart grew two sizes.
Yeah. Okay.
Or three sizes. A lot of sizes. It grew. So here's a picture of a creature in tall grass, presumably in Louisiana, near New Orleans. That is, according to the source who took the picture, the Grinch. What does that look like to you?
I mean, it's very blurry. It looks like...
It's extremely blurry. It's tall grass. And I see there's a distant picture here, and they have an inset. It shows sort of a close-up of this creature walking through. We can't tell for sure how high it is. But
I mean, it could be a cat, a dog, a beaver.
Not a beaver. I'm going to say no to the beaver part, but a cat, a dog, yes.
Yeah.
I say dog. The legs to me look like dog. What it's not is a chupacabra-like creature called a grunch.
Yes.
So it's hilarious. I mean, it could be anything. Why you say, that's a pretty convincing picture of a grunch is unclear because it's not that.
No.
Even if you couldn't say, I don't know what it is, you don't go, grunch.
Yeah.
You go, cat or dog. It doesn't look very, very big, but to me, it could easily be a cat. It could be a coyote. It could be a Shiba Inu. It could be any of those things. So there are modern stories to this. Okay, it's critical. You've noticed that. It supposedly goes back to the early days of New Orleans. Whether it's tied to the Marie Laveau story or not, it's tied to the Grunch Road in the east of New Orleans that's now kind of lost to time. No one knows exactly where it was. It's said to be in three or four different places. But still, the idea is, the legend is, the 21st century lore is that it goes way, way, way back. There's absolutely nothing to indicate that whatsoever. We'll get to that in just a second. I want to talk about some modern stories. So some woman in Harvey, Louisiana claims recently, I wasn't given the year, but the idea, it was clearly recently in the 21st century, said that she saw a grunch eating one of her neighbor's dogs. And in that same area, some sanitation workers said, we see them in the garbage and sometimes we see them chase the garbage trucks. And with us, why do they think that's a grunch?
Yeah.
A dog or even a chupacabra? I don't know. One woman said that, oh, no, they like to chase cats to drink their blood. How do you know they're going to do that if you see them chasing a cat? So she's out driving. She's on this dark road. And she looked ahead and thought, hey, that's a dog in my headlights, I guess. So she stopped to, I don't know, help the dog. And it wasn't a dog. It was something else. She said it looked a little bit reptilian. Quote, this thing looked like some sort of lizard-like cross between a monkey and bulldog. It was horrible. It was shuffling along with a lopsided gait. G-A-I-T, because that's what people say. Reddit. And seemed to be so unnatural that I could feel the hairs on my neck stand up. It had grayish, scaly skin and a snouted face, also how people talk, that looked to be a cross between that of an ape and an alligator. Two animals that look very similar.
Wow.
As I approached it, it stopped and puffed up to stand on two legs, looking at me with those baleful eyes.
Baleful?
Baleful. And then it emitted the most unpleasant hiss I could imagine, after which it sort of lunged at me as I passed. Let me tell you, I was well on my way after that, .. end quote.
Wow.
That's, people don't write like that.
Yeah.
Speak like that, except on
Reddit.
Reddit. That's just, you know, that's so clearly what happened. But again, this story is presented as if, well, we got to explain that. I mean, that clearly happened, obviously. So this grunch or chupacabra is still said to have, after Hurricane Katrina came in, to places closer, I guess, you know, their territory was mucked up. So they came and lived closer to the city after that, supposedly.
Yeah.
And that sometimes they can be seen like, I don't know exactly where Highway 90 is in a relation to New Orleans. I should have looked that up. I didn't. But they're said some people will like see them darting across the highway sometimes in the nighttime, in the dark. Some place called Lakeview, the residents there these days say that they never leave their pets out after dark. Since Hurricane Katrina, because they get bloodstuck, they get killed by grunches.
Yeah.
So, oh, that's my favorite. This one of the sources said, ended his or her article with, legend states that if you travel along Grunch Road, again, I don't think it exists anymore. I couldn't find it on Google Maps.
Yeah.
So, but if you travel along Grunch Road, a non-existent street, I'll go back to the quote, wherever it may actually be, you may see a stray injured goat. If you leave your car to help the poor animal, the grunch will come to drain your blood and devour your body. The grunch actually was the lead character in the pilot episode back in 2014 of a show called Swamp Monsters on Discovery that found, of all things, you know, classy and true and scientifically legitimate. I've never heard of it, but it's some guy named Elliot Guidry and his team. The team was called BEAST, B-E-A-S-T, acronym. It stood for Bayou Enforcement Agency Special Team. That is desperate to fit words to an acronym that you already made up, clearly. One person said, this is not a show worth watching. It is much like all other shows involving those animals no one has ever been able to catch or see. The fact they have named themselves an agency of something, I find hilarious. The group is cliche as they have the usual members, a tracker, a weapons specialist, the leader, and whatever else a group of batshit crazy people have when hunting an animal that doesn't exist. The description from that from Discovery was Elliot Guidry and his team of beasts battle the elements as they track down a pack of the infamous grunch. After following these monsters in the middle of the swamp, Elliot and his team realize that the hunter has become the hunted.
Of course.
That probably wasn't written by AI because it's in 2014, but that's freaking awful. But it sure reads like it is. So that was the grunch. I never heard of that show.
No.
But it was on a long time ago. I guess it's not on anymore. I don't know.
Swamp Monsters does sound familiar.
Maybe it's still on. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But it's on those stations that I try to stay away from because they're just awful. So I'll just make a few points here in the end here. Again, as far as I can tell, there's no sign of this thing until relatively modern times, probably even the 21st century. Clearly this was made up after the chupacabra became a thing, and that was really the 90s and into the 2000s. And, you know, but a lot of these sources almost seem defensively, like one said, the earliest reports of grunt sightings supposedly date back to the early 1800s with a drop off in the 1980s and a revival in 2005 after Hurricane Katrina. What are you doing a content analysis? I don't think so. And another one said, like, almost argumentative, the grunch is not a millennial fabrication. but a story as old as the city itself, going all the way back to the roots of La Nouvelle Orleans, which means the New Orleans.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's exactly what it is. It's for sure a millennial fabrication. Sorry, bro. And literally, there's just absolutely no, they just state these stories. There's no documentation. There's no source. And there's nothing. No source I saw had a source or even a source that had sources.
Right.
No references whatsoever to anything that really you just state. People, you know, people say or this is what happened.
And yeah.
You state it. This is a fact. It's nothing of the sort, of course. Another person said, no one explanation fits nor can it fit, especially in this part of America. Again, you sort of, here's a fake story that didn't happen. You better explain it. If you can't explain it, then it must be a monster that we all have to now admit, you know, exists. That's just the opposite of sense and reason. And this is what these people do all the time. These sightings going back to centuries. You know, we've seen that a lot, right? The Wendigo, or not the Wendigo, but you know, Sasquatch and things like that. They whenever there's a creature out there, the people who are proponents of it invent these, like, well, the Native Americans have been talking about that since whatever, and just fill in, you know, make up a fake date.
Yeah.
And it's almost never true. This is something like that. It's not Native Americans, but these, you know, like you say, oh, it goes back to like 1700s, you know, you're just saying that. You're not showing any reason for us to believe that. And by the way, one source said essentially, like, clearly was taking seriously the story of dwarfs, again, their word, and albinos, literally devolving into grunches, as if that's evidence of the existence of the grunch. Think about it, something we know can't physically happen.
Yeah.
And certainly couldn't happen in, what, I don't know, 20 years? I don't know. Is stated as if it's support of your story. That's, you know, you need to look deep into yourself if that's how your brain works. You can see the chupacabra aspects. This is clear in my mind. I think this is clearly, I'm sorry to rain on your parade if you're a big grunch fan. It's a great story. It's interesting. It's a fascinating story, animal. I love those kinds of things. Stop pretending it's real.
Yeah.
It's not. But it clearly was just kind of, I suppose, this is speculation by me, that it was invented, I don't know, or I didn't go back and see. None of the sources I had were very old at all.
Yeah.
At all. I mean, they go back to at least 2014 with that TV show, but I don't get the sense they go back a ton of, you know, that many years before that. I didn't find any of that seemed really old. And then somebody decided to append it to the Devil Baby of Bourbon Street story of Marie Laveau and create a new origin story for it. The last word goes to the last word of a different source who said, he was talking about people that locals now are sometimes in grunge country. They're kind of afraid at night. It's like, quote, are they right to be scared? Yes. But what are they scared of? Maybe we'll never know for sure. And that's what makes the grunch so terrifying. Is it? You know, this creature that was recently invented for sure does not exist. Has a ludicrous origin story. I mean, Damon, if you're trying to invent old folklore to say something exists, don't have it be something that can't possibly be true, like this dwarf albino thing.
Yeah.
So just, you know, nice try. Need to think that one through. Need to maybe retcon it again.
Yeah.
And see if you can make a better creature here. But I thought I'd share it with you because it is an interesting creature.
It's kind of funny.
It's a funny story.
Yeah.
I think. And it's, you know, I would love to meet some of these people. In another review of that Swamp Monsters thing, they were talking about how it was just incredibly lame. It's mostly these guys with beards stomping through the swamp, pretending to be afraid of something that they knew, they clearly know doesn't exist. But the part that was, and speaking very stilted. So everybody seemed to, multiple people said this was fake. They're speaking written lines. Clearly they're not good actors, which is all reality shows are like that. They said the only parts that were interesting was talking to the supposed witnesses, but they said that most of them was like, they know it's not real. It's just they're telling fun stories.
Yeah, yeah.
And these swamp monster guys are like, going out to the swamp and getting scared shitless of something that's not out there with them.
Yeah.
So that's the story of the grunch. I hope. That's what I mean. It's kind of a quick cryptid corner because it's kind of a chupacabra-esque cryptid. But more clearly, it's not a, you know, cryptids in my mind. The best cryptids are the ones that there's a ghost of a chance that they're real. This is not one of those, for sure.
It's a ghost of a chance.
There is, it's like Sasquatch. It's overwhelmingly unlikely, but you know, there's a 1% chance, or even better, is remember we did the Buru, that kind of water oriented monitor lizard that may have lived in India until the late 1800s or so. I think there's a decent chance that's a true cryptid that at least lasted, survived into modern times.
Yeah.
The Grunch, no.
No, I don't think so. Not that,
really. But we hope you enjoyed it anyway. And I did.
Sorry about the Sasquatch, too. I don't.
Whatever, Carrie.
I'm pretty sure.
Right on my Sasquatch. You know I love me some Sasquatch, okay? I choose to believe, Carrie.
And also the name, The Grunge.
The Grunge is a great name. I mean,
we pretty
name.
Much know where that came
That's
from.
That's one of the main reasons. You know, probably. Yeah.
Somebody mispronounced Grinch, and then,
oh my God.
Oh, hey.
That's how I think. Remember the movie Cowboys and Aliens?
Uh-huh.
I'm 100% positive. Some movie people were playing poker, and they're telling stories. Remember you used to, as a kid, you used to play Cowboys and Aliens? Go, yeah, I remember playing Cowboys and Aliens. But, oh, I'm sorry. I meant, oh, my God.
It is a good title.
And they started writing the script right there that night.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic title.
Yeah.
It was an accident. It wasn't a great movie.
Yeah, we saw that, didn't we?
It was not.
I don't remember it.
That good of a movie, but it wasn't terrible. Yeah. But yeah. This is the Grunch. You're probably right. The Grunch is probably some kind of variation like that. It was an accidental slip of the tongue, and they turned it into a legend that lives to this day. And it was just featured on this podcast I know about called Weird World.
Yeah.
And we hope you enjoyed listening to it.
Well, thanks, Dean.
Absolutely.
And thanks for listening.
Okay. See you. Bye.